not exactly sure how to follow that skit up. It was very well done. But each day we do face opportunities to be able to praise God or to be able to question God about why our day went the day had gone the way it had gone. And we've seen what an attitude of prayer can do in the difference of a day. Presented with identical situations, one chose to praise God in the storms, and the other challenging God for what has not gone his way. Maybe you heard the story about the twin brothers. One was a complete optimist, the other was a complete pessimist. As a matter of fact, they were so opposite that their parents wanted to experiment at Christmas. To the pessimist, they gave every toy he wished for on his list. And to the optimist, they gave a pile of, well, manure. Early Christmas morning, the parents came down to observe their sons. The pessimist was sitting in a corner, completely upset and saddened. The parents asked, "What could possibly be wrong? We got you everything on your list." But the boy said, "You forgot the Star Wars lightsaber." And they looked over at the optimist, who was just running around the pile of manure, laughing and shouting with glee. And they said, "We don't understand. How could you possibly be so happy?" To which he replied, "I can't help myself. I can't help myself. With all this manure, there's got to be a pony somewhere around here." The harsh realities of our world are all around us. People we love struggle with their health. People we love die. There are severe car accidents. There's loss of gainful employment, financial meltdown, and certain futures. All kinds of stuff come our way that we'd just rather not deal with. But ignoring the problem seldom makes them go away. Instead, they fester and fester and often get worse. If you don't deal with that ticking sound under the hood of your car or the squealing sound from your brakes from the moment it first begins, you can be guaranteed that $100 problem will turn into a much more heavier financial burden in no time. And you know, it's the same way with our bodies, that blood pressure problem that can't be dealt with, that we refuse to diet, refuse to exercise, turns into strokes and heart attacks over time, if left alone. And you know, when we think about it, we either deal with problems that come our way, or most certainly they'll deal with us. There was a little boy that went to his teacher after they received the report cards and said, "Now please don't worry, but Dad said if my grades don't improve, somebody's going to be in big trouble." So what's it like to face your day? Where are we at when we find ourselves in big trouble? Or when the things aren't going the way that we had anticipated? Or let's just say when the going gets tough. Do we experience denial, depression, withdrawal? Do we find ourselves in a pattern of avoidance or blame? Or maybe we simply have feelings of guilt or anger. The bottom line is that we all encounter problems or challenges in life. Maybe friends have let us down, or bad news arrives. We just don't feel needed anymore. Or perhaps an unexpected fire destroys our home. It often feels like something else is going to happen. It's only a matter of time, and we're constantly asking ourselves, what's next? Feelings of confusion and helplessness surround us. And as of late, they've become feelings to most everyone in this time of uncertainty. Where will the next meal come from? How are we going to keep the kids warm? What about all those bills? And if it hasn't happened yet, the thoughts may have crossed your mind. Stress, anxiety, fear, all settle in. And we know we can't sit around and wait. Because as we know, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. You know, even several thousand years ago, bad news would lurk around the corner. What we could take from the lessons of a man named Nehemiah are promises to us this day. And problems? You want to talk about problems? Let's read about them in Nehemiah 1:1-11. The words of Nehemiah, son of Hakaliah. In the month of Kislev, in the 20th year, when I was in the citadel of Susa, Hanani, one of my brothers, came from Judah with some other men. And I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that survived the exile and also about Jerusalem. They said to me, "Those who survived the exile and are back in the province are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates have been burned with fire." When I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Then I said, "O Lord, God of heaven, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and obey his commands, let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer your servant is praying before you day and night for your servants, the people of Israel. I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's house, have committed against you. We have acted very wickedly toward you. We have not obeyed the commands, decrees, and laws you gave your servant Moses. Remember the instruction you gave your servant Moses, saying, 'If you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands, then even if your exiled people are at the farthest horizon, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. There your servants and your people, whom you redeem by your great strength and your mighty hand. O Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this your servant, and to the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man.' I was cupbearer to the king. Lord, we thank you for your word. We ask that you would open our minds, and Lord, that we would receive what you have in store for us this day. What we've gathered here is that Nehemiah was a man of great importance, very close to the king. He would have had a lot of influence. He would have been one of the king's most trusted advisors, living a comfortable life. Many in his position would have rested on of influence. He would have been one of the king's most trusted advisors, living a comfortable life. Many in his position would have rested on their laurels. They thought they had made it through their own efforts. But Nehemiah, we read about, is a very humble, devout believer. Someone whose feet are firmly planted on the ground and of paramount importance to the remnants of those that had escaped exile. The wall was a matter of life and death. Without it, the remnants were easy prey for their enemies. And things seemed to be going well for a very long period of time. But now, presumably, for those in Jerusalem and Nehemiah, the tide was turning. Good news, surely, but bad news had arrived at Nehemiah's doorstep. In Nehemiah 1:3, we read that the walls, perhaps recently rebuilt walls, were once again broken down. And this could probably have been the result of King Artaxerxes' action as mentioned in Ezra 4. The city was completely vulnerable. You want to know how bad that news was for Nehemiah? He was gutted. He was bewildered. He must have felt like he had gone 10 rounds with Mike Tyson. We're told that he sat down and wept. "For some days I mourned and fasted," he said in Nehemiah 1:4. Now his reaction was entirely understandable. He wasn't a stoic, and neither should we be. He wasn't able to dismiss the bad news and cover it over in the hope that it would go away. You know, there may be some people like that today. They actually think if they don't think about it, it'll just go away. Nehemiah was distressed by this awful news, but he believed and trusted in God. And in his hour of need, his attention was focused firmly on God. He mourned and fasted. God was at the center of this man's life. Do we remember the parable Jesus told in Matthew 7:24-27? It's about two builders, one wise, one foolish. The wise builder built his house on solid rock, strong, tough, firm foundations. When the terrible storm came upon his house, though battered, it endured the storm and survived. While the foolish builder built his house on shifting sand, when that storm came, his house didn't stand a chance. It fell, and it fell hard. You see, the storm, whatever it may be for us, will eventually come. And the only choice we have is whether we were going to build our lives, our marriage, our job, our children's upbringing, our relationships on the rock or on the sand. Or to say in another way, on God's word, remaining obedient to him, or choosing to blaze our own trail and do our own thing. The only safe place for us and our lives is when we build our lives on God's solid rock. But it's interesting. The wise and foolish builders both had to endure the storm. Both people in our skit endured identical adversity. And we, as believers, are not immune from such events. Sometimes we'll need to suffer harsh things. Perhaps even now we're living in dread of an impending problem. If not us, there's friends and family, neighbors who are worrying, wondering, what shall I do? And in response of the man or woman in the community without Jesus, or maybe even with Jesus, to the calamity knocking on their door, may come cursing, lashing out verbally or physically. Many responses may come, but here in our scripture lesson, Nehemiah shows us the way. He gives us a godly example. And this is what he did. Nehemiah prayed, and Nehemiah's prayer put things into perspective. Through prayer, the bad news he had received was no longer an ogre to be feared. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for how you hear our prayers, though sometimes we don't understand how you answer them. Lord, we trust in you. And we know that your result, your end result, is what's best. But Father, we pray that you would give us clarity, you would give us wisdom, you would give us guidance. Lord, we know that in these times of stress and anxiety, we know in these times of financial trouble, that we have two places to turn. We can turn inward and focus on ourselves, what can we do? Or we can turn outward and focus on you and how you can work through that situation. And Lord, we just trust you this morning. We believe and have faith in you, knowing that you will allow us to endure this storm. And Father, just thank you for how you've answered prayers in our lives. Thank you for giving us clarity and understanding on situations that at first we just didn't know for sure what was going on. But Father, you are the God of this universe, creating each and every one of us. You give us a solid foundation to stand on. And we thank you for how you will continue to work in our lives. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.